We now have a new challenge, perhaps the most monumental in recorded history. The opportunity to investigate a phenomenon that could change our destiny. A look at ourselves 1,000 years in the future.
We're going to examine and perhaps question some widely held theories of what may have happened to this Earth of ours. We're going to investigate some strange and bizarre events in the present. Unbelievable happenings as fresh as today's headlines. And more important, perhaps, we're going to take a searching and scientific look into the future. We're reaching more and more out into space. Perhaps, as we may learn, someone, something, somewhere in space is reaching out to us.
Who the visitors are, where they're from, and what they want is unknown.
Bigfoot was attracting national attention and was now rapidly becoming the most intriguing mystery on the North American continent.
Many people have seen ghosts and reported incredible experiences from the realm of the spirit world. Who can tell what this young man will see as he falls deep into a trance?
Welcome to After Dark Radio and your host, Ryan Alvarez.
Good evening, everybody. We're here on After Dark Radio. It is July 20th. 2013, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com just switched over to July 20th, and I have just posted on Twitter, we are taking phone calls, 425-482-1686, as we do every Friday, midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, and not sure how many people are going to call. I had talked earlier in the week about not doing open lines this evening, just doing a show solely devoted to emails, because I was planning at the moment, or at the time, to be at the beach on Friday night, where we can't take phone calls, make phone calls, but can't take phone calls. So I figured it'd be a night to do a bunch of emails, and a lot of people have sent in emails, everything like that. But we had a couple of jobs, in fact, for this weekend. So we ended up coming back early and literally got in about an hour ago, and thus we can now take some phone calls here on this program. Also got a lot of cool news stories to read tonight, bunch of emails, and the phone lines are, in fact, already ringing. So let's not waste any time. Go to the phones. You are on After Dark Radio. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hello, Brian. It's Jason from British Columbia.
Oh,
how
my
are you doing?
God, you've returned.
Yes, how are things going?
What's happening?
Not much. I'm actually in the middle of a monsoon right now. I'm at my house in Phoenix, Arizona. So if I cut out, it's monsoon-related.
There's a monsoon in Arizona?
Yes.
Really? I was unaware of that.
It's just a large thunderstorm, you know, in the desert.
I heard, I don't know if you know anything about this. I just heard this a few minutes ago, that is it true that lightning struck the Fremont in Las Vegas and it is currently on fire?
I'm not in Las Vegas. That's what I don't know.
Well, I mean, this would be big news, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't really have a television or anything like that, Brian, so I'm not sure.
All right, well,
I haven't heard that, though.
All right, I'll let you, I'll do some searching for this here as we get on here, but let's what have you got on your mind?
Oh, anyways, I heard you and Vinny, maybe a month ago or so, talking about evil dolls.
That's right.
And it reminded me of my first paranormal experience that I ever had back when I was in high school. It is about evil dolls. And so back when I was in high school, I was probably like 16 years old, and I was dating an older girl. She was probably in her 20s, but she was kind of a loser, Brian. She worked as a cashier, and she lived in her parents' basement. She really had no future, but she was rather good-looking, so I was dating her at the time. And she lived in her parents' basement, and she lived at the end of this long hallway. And the hallway had little alcoves on both sides of the hall in which her mother kept her doll collection. And these dolls were like, you know, the really expensive kind of collectible dolls with the glass eyes, the fancy ornate clothing and stuff. You know the dolls I'm talking about.
The worst kind, yes.
Yes. Anyways, these dolls, you know, the eyes always look like they're following you and whatnot. So every time I left the house, it was always very creepy walking down this hallway. And I'm not going to give grave details here, but this girl had this kind of weird fetish. she liked things unnecessarily rough.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm 16. I don't really, I wasn't really into that at the time, or not that I'm into that now, but, you know.
Sure.
So I never really went for it, but one night her parents were out of town, and we were at her parents' house, and she started pouring me cocktails. That was the first time I'd really drank heavily at 16, and so she poured me a few Negronis. Do you know what a Negroni is, Brian?
I don't.
It's a fantastic cocktail. You need to go out and have a Negroni right now.
What does it consist of?
It's a Campari gin and sweet vermouth. It's the best cocktail on the planet.
Hmm.
So anyways, I had a few of these, and she said, well, let's go to the bedroom, and she kind of talked me into doing things a little bit more the way she liked. And she was really into it and all, but, you know, if you were outside of the bedroom, you would think that I was, you know, murdering her viciously the way she was carrying on and screaming and crying. It was a horrifying thing. But, you know, we did that, and after we were done, you know, I was going to go to the restroom to, you know, clean up and whatnot. I stepped outside of her bedroom into this hallway with the dolls, and I swear, Brian, all of them were slightly turned towards the bedroom door, and I saw all of the creepy glass eyes. I took one step forward when I felt one of the dolls touch my arm. Now, whether I was stumbling from the cocktails and accidentally hit into this doll, or whether the doll's hand moved out and touched me, I'll never know. But at that point, I took off running down the hallway. I ran upstairs. I got in my car. I'm completely naked. And I drove home, never spoke to the girl again, and never returned to that house. But those dolls, the thought that I did something in that bedroom that was inappropriate, I think, and they came to life.
Now, is it possible that you were hitting the headboard so hard that the ground, the shaking, had moved the dolls?
No, because, you know, I mean, this was a long hallway, Brian. There had to have been, like, 15 dolls on each side.
Hmm.
It was many, many feet. There was no reverberations moving the dolls.
The vibrations weren't no, making their way all the way down the hall?
Evil, satanic dolls. And I believe that they were violent dolls. And I that's why I never returned, because, well, you don't go back to a place that has violent dolls.
Hold on a second. You believe the dolls were violent?
Yes.
It sounds like you beat the hell out of this girl in the room, and all the doll did was brush against you.
No, there was nothing like
that. So of the two of you, you seem to be more dangerous than the dolls.
Well, I don't think that's true.
Now, did you look at the doll after it touched you, or did you just feel it and then run for your life?
I felt it, and I ran for my life.
Ran for your life, huh?
Yes.
I posted on Twitter a couple of days ago a story about the various haunted dolls. Did you see that?
No, I don't go on Twitter very often, but I'll have to look it up.
Hmm. Well, Jason, I'm glad you've returned to the program. Are you going to be calling in the future?
Perhaps, Brian, perhaps.
Don't listen to the haters.
All right.
That's my best advice for you. I want to thank you very much for the call, Jason, and the return. Haunted dolls disapproving of this rough sexual behavior, apparently. Sounds to me like these dolls were trying to keep Jason in line more than anything else, if you ask me. I've done a little bit of research into this Fremont Hotel, and I have not found anything about it being struck by lightning. However, as of 3 hours ago, some fella has posted a picture on Twitter. Downtown Las Vegas near Fremont Street, power outage. It's completely black, with the exception of car lights. But if you've ever been to Vegas, imagine Fremont Street being out of power. So that is the latest. I had been told the Fremont Hotel had been struck by lightning and was on fire, but I cannot find any evidence of this, no news of that. But that was the actually, there may be more. I'm getting more of an update right here. Let me take this call, then I'll get back to this story. You are on After Dark Radio. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Chico, it's Marco from Las Vegas, the same one that you met at the convention.
That's right. How you doing?
Good, man.
Now I've got a face to the name.
Exactly.
Hey.
And hopefully you see this face at WrestleMania.
I'm glad you called, because I was in the middle of investigating a incident. Do you realize the power in Fremont Street is out?
Actually, the power went out around Las Vegas, believe it or not.
All around Las Vegas.
Yeah, in fact, I was at Costco, like, we were at the register when the power went out.
Really? I've got, I've now found these reports here on Twitter that there was, in fact, a fire at the Fremont Hotel, and it is believed that lightning started the fire, and the fire at this point, 3 hours ago, was 100% contained, so that's good news, but do they know why all of the power went out in Las Vegas?
I have no idea. This is the first time I'm even hearing about it, because by the time I got to my house, it was a little over half an hour before we actually got power back here working again.
So when was that? How many hours ago was that?
Oh, hour and a half.
Okay, because 3 hours ago it appeared there was still no power on Fremont Street. So how about that?
Yeah, even with that, our TV signal was on and off, so couldn't really get any news there.
Is it inclement weather, as they say?
Oh yeah, it was pretty strong because it's been since you've been here. It's been very hot, but it was pouring.
So very hot, rain and thunderstorms.
Yeah, well, not particularly today, but lately it's been hot. But now there's been a lot of rain and a lot of pouring, and it was bad.
Good God! Thank God the convention was a couple of weeks ago and not this past week.
Absolutely.
So what's on your mind?
I was listening to an old show, and you mentioned it's regarding Bigfoot, the topic. And you mentioned something called the Patterson footage.
That's right.
I wonder if you could. I don't really know much about that. I wanted to get your take on that. What that is, and how much you know about the Patterson footage.
Well, Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin were interested in Bigfoot, and they actually went out with the expressed intent of getting Bigfoot on film. That was their goal. And they believe that they came across him. Obviously, they took a film, like actual, I think it was 16mm film or whatever. And it's the most famous Bigfoot footage that there's ever been. And if you go online, just Google like Patterson. Actually, people get mad when I call it the Patterson footage. But if you Google it, that's the easiest way to find it, is to Google the Patterson footage. But you can see it. And although there have been people that have claimed that it has been debunked and proven a hoax, that is incorrect. It has not. And there are a lot of very intelligent people who do not believe that it is a man in an ape suit. There have been people that have attempted to recreate it. There was a guy who claimed he was the guy in the ape suit, and he later got another ape suit and recreated the footage. And while he did a decent job, it actually looks absolutely nothing like the Patterson footage. So
it's actually exactly what you said on that radio show. There was a guy claiming,
yes,
the many people that claimed there's, that guy in particular who claimed that he was the guy in the footage.
That's right. But nobody has ever debunked it. And there are people that firmly believe that it is an unknown animal.
Well, I guess it's possible. And I got another question for you.
Shoot.
this might be a funny one. I think this question is going to be the new Savage Steph question, in the sense that it will be asked a lot.
Oh, no. I have never had sex with Bigfoot.
My question for you, how many times have you been bothered about the audio from the hotel party?
Dude, I have been bothered. Actually, believe it or not, probably less than you think. But I'm not going to get away without putting it on one of these days. And the problem is, the reason it's not on is because there is a portion that desperately needs to be edited. And once that is out, I'll have no problem posting it. But once it's posted without that part, everyone is going to be greatly let down by it.
I'm actually let down to the fact that I was there when this happened, and I don't know where I was when such, and I don't know who the person is, but when this took place.
Where you were was under the influence.
Actually, no. I was the youngest person there. I was only 20, so I didn't have a drop of alcohol.
Really? You're only 20? I did not know that.
Yeah. I'll be 21. I won't be 21 until after WrestleMania next year, but at the convention, I made it my goal to drink with you and Vinny for the first time.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll...
Also, I've spoken with some other people, and we're looking to start a Kickstarter to bring Sheiky Baby to Vegas next year.
To bring the Iron Sheik?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the man you need to talk to is Ed, because he is interested in doing a Kickstarter to put together a little wrestling show that would include the Heartbreakers against Brian and Vinny in a tag team match, as well as potentially a match involving Lance Storm. This is his idea.
Well, I heard about that. I heard the show earlier today with you and Antonio Thomas.
That's right. So Ed wants to try and put that together, but we'll see what happens.
Well, I live here. I know some people that I could probably help set that up. So, you know, I'll talk with that and see what we could put together.
Well, you know the address. F4WFan@hotmail.com is Ed's address. Everybody please harass him and not me. And he'll see what he can do. How about that?
All right.
We need
all
to put
right.
that guy to work anyway.
Now, one serious question, and I'll open up the line for everybody. I'll leave you with this. Is there an actual difference between a Sasquatch and a Bigfoot?
No, there's not. Just, some people prefer Bigfoot, some people prefer Sasquatch, but they're essentially said to be the same beast.
All right. Well, thanks for the time, Chico.
Oh, thank you very much for the call there, Marco. Didn't even know he was only 20. I don't remember who was drinking and who wasn't at the sweet party, but I'll take his word for it that he wasn't drinking. You know, we went to the beach, Cannon Beach, which is in on the Oregon coast. And, of course, you got to drive there and back. And I'm in Seattle, so it's about a four-hour drive. And when you're driving there and back, you're driving through the woods. And there's a lot of woods in the Pacific Northwest if you've never been here. Especially if you're, you know, if you go to Seattle, you know, you'll see trees. But it's not like you're in the woods. But you get outside of the big cities around here, and you are in the woods. So we're driving through the woods, and often when we're going to go to a new area, I will Google the name of the town and Bigfoot. For example, you know, the Seaside, Oregon, which is about 10 minutes from Cannon Beach. Seaside, Oregon, have any Bigfoot sightings? So you Google it, and you find that, yeah, Seaside, I believe Seaside had a sighting in whatever year. It doesn't matter. But the point I'm trying to make is, one thing about Bigfoot that's always fascinated me, I don't know if there's such a thing as Bigfoot. I'm skeptical because it's 2013 and we haven't found one yet. You know, especially people who are actually looking. It's one thing if there's a, let's say that there's one last uncharted place in the world and something mysterious is found there. That's one thing. Or let's say you find a new species of frog or something small. But to find like a 9-foot primate with great intelligence, chances are you'd have found it by now. You know what I mean? In the Northwest, where people are out tromping through the woods with all sorts of equipment. I've tromped through the woods way out in the middle of nowhere, like miles, 50, 60 miles away from the nearest main road, and nothing out there that we saw or heard. But sometimes the one thing that I find so intriguing is that sometimes I will end up in a town that's heavily forested in Washington or Oregon. And so out of curiosity, I Google the name of the town. I'll just, for example, say the town of Vader, which is a real town. You Google the town and Bigfoot, and there are zero reports. None. Like, not this year, but never has there been a report of a Sasquatch in this particular town. And it's always kind of like, if we presume that all of these people that report Bigfoot are either A, mistaken, or B, lying, then it would stand to reason that in any heavily forested town, there should be a report, or maybe even a number of reports. If you go back 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, however long people have been keeping track of this, however long there's been a BFRO, hasn't been 50 years, but, you know, 60s was when the Bigfoot craze really started to take off. And in all those years, not one person mistook a bear. Not one person lied. It just seems kind of strange to me that some areas, there are tons and tons of sightings, and other areas which are equally heavily forested in the same larger geographic area have zero sightings. I've always found that strange. Let's go to the phones. You are on After Dark Radio. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Kevin from Los Angeles.
Kevin, what's up?
How are you doing tonight, Brian?
I'm doing great.
Pretty good. What are your thoughts on doing a... I know you guys mentioned it for the Brian and Vinny Christmas show. Instead of doing audio, you do a video version. I know that would probably be embarrassing for mostly Vinny. But would that ever be in the works, or is that just a dream?
I suppose it's possible. I don't think we would do it live.
Of course not.
Live streaming, like an iPay-per-view, obviously, is not going to work. But maybe like Ring of Honor, we could tape it and put it online the next day. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
If I will consider the idea. If I were actually any good at video editing, there'd be a lot more video stuff up on the website. But I don't know anything about it. And audio is I can churn out audio like crazy, but churning out video is a little more difficult. But I will consider the idea of a video Brian and Vinny Christmas show.
That's awesome. And one more question. Actually, is there a topic tonight, or is it just open
lines? It's just open lines.
I was listening to, because I work nights, and I always pop in my headphones, listen all of the archives, mostly Brian and Vinny and the Christmas shows and stuff. And whatever happened to your friend Mark, the one you guys reviewed, ECW December to Dismember, that guy was absolutely hilarious.
You know, Mark actually lives in the Seattle area, and I have not seen him in years. Every once in a great while, he will send me a text completely out of the blue that will say something hilarious, and I will respond with an LOL, and then he'll just drop off the face of the earth again. But he's out there somewhere, but I have not seen him in a long time.
It's probably because you just do the LOL.
Well, I mean, there is that. I met him because he was in film school, and he was making a film, and I auditioned and I got it. I believe because he had actually read Death of WCW, and I put it on my acting resume of all things, and he could not even believe it, and so he hired me, and we did I think a couple of movies together. But anyway, he then moved on with his life. I don't think he's doing that anymore. And I'm not doing that anymore. So that was kind of the end of that. But he was a funny guy.
He was a funny guy. Also, completely off subject, but what are your thoughts on like pounds, like for cats and dogs? Because my girlfriend and I went to a local pound today, and we saw a bunch of things. And, you know, there were a lot of cute kittens and stuff. And I don't know. You're a cat lover, an animal lover. What are your thoughts on them?
In terms of should they exist or should you adopt someone, or what's the question?
Of course, yes, they should exist. I think that's a no-brainer, but just how they run them, because I know there are two in my area. One of them's really nice. They keep them for, I think, the cutoff date's like a year, and then they put them down, but there are a lot of them that get like feral cats and stray dogs and stuff, and they just put them down right away. And I think, I'm no PETA member, but I think it's a little cruel. But obviously putting down animals without giving a chance is pretty cruel. But
there are a lot of them around here that are called no kill shelters, and they don't put them down. And I don't know. I really dislike. I know there are people that will argue this, but I really dislike the idea of putting down the animals. But it's just like every pound is different, you know. We've got all three cats, not from like a pound, but we except for the ones that were actually birthed under our patio furniture, that was different. But the other three cats that we got were all from like you go to PetSmart and the people come in and they bring the cats for the adoption, everything like that. And right. You know, everyone we've ever dealt with has been really nice and have treated the animals really well. The only thing, especially with cats, is they cats that kind of grow up in those catteries or whatever you want to call them, they can all pass viruses onto each other. And most cats that come from, you know, when you go to adopt a cat, most of them end up having the coronavirus, which can turn into FIP. It's kind of rare. Only about 2% of cats, it actually turns into FIP, but it happened to one of our cats. And when your cat gets FIP, there is no cure. It's a death sentence. So it really sucks. But if you adopt it from, like, you know, your buddy has cats or something like that, it's probably going to be free of it. But, you know, you can't really, there's nothing you can really do. You just got to be aware that if you get it from a place like that, there's always a chance that it could have something that could be very bad.
Right, because I'm actually looking at a stray cat in the eye right now. She's scared shitless, but she kind of just sits around the food. And I like to call my cat, his name is Cat. He's like the slump lord of all cats because he's the only one out of all these, you know, all these cats in the neighborhood that has a home and can just go in the doggy door and go get food and then come out, and all the other cats are just looking at him, and then he'll bug us until we bring food outside. And I don't know, I think it's kind of funny. Like, there was a pregnant one. Actually, the one I'm looking at was the pregnant one. She had her, or she was about to have her babies. I think this was two weeks ago, something like that. And my dad and I tried to catch it, which was mistake number one. And we wanted to catch it, take it to the vet so it can have, like, you know, a really safe birth, and maybe we'll find the kittens a home. And my dad's brilliant idea was to try and chase it around the house. We let it in the house, and it scrambled and went ape shit, and it climbed up my wall and knocked down a big framed poster, shattered everything, broke a bunch of shit. But we finally got it. It had its kittens, and we took them to a shelter, and now I think the kittens or the cat is very sad because it doesn't have its kittens anymore. But
yeah.
Hopefully they're in a good place.
Well, you've learned a lesson about letting a pregnant cat in your house.
Yeah, I'm surprised they can jump that high when they're pregnant.
Oh, they can jump high no matter what.
Cats. It's funny. Cats are the most, you know, they can be the most ferocious beasts. They can jump high. They can scale walls and defy gravity. But they're some of the laziest pieces of shit ever.
They are quite amazing. I want to thank you very much for the call. We were just last night, actually, as we were. We were walking back, there was a cat, a stray cat, and it was on the roof of the clubhouse. And it jumped from the roof down to a little, kind of a, I don't know what it was, but it was incredibly agile. And then it just walked right up to us and was our best friend. And we hung out with it for a while, and then off it went on its merry way, and it was pretty nice. All right, no further news here on the Fremont. I'm trying to follow the situation. It's kind of a funny world we live in. Where power's out in Las Vegas, and the Fremont Hotel was briefly on fire due to a lightning strike. And searching Google in the news section, absolutely not one single piece of news about this. But I can go up here to Twitter, and everything you ever wanted to know about this is available on Twitter. So quite the news source here. Don't necessarily always, you know, sometimes the accuracy of things that appear on Twitter can be questionable, but in this situation here, there is not only a story, but a photograph of the power being out on Fremont Street. So obviously you can confirm that, in fact, the power was out on Fremont Street. At Helicopter Ken, I'll give the guy a plug right here. Speaking of Twitter, I don't know if a lot of you are aware of this. You should be. But if you go to ArtBell.com. It's very interesting right now. The website has undergone quite the transformation of late. Right now, it says, and I quote, "Want to take a ride?" as well as links to Art Bell on Twitter and Art Bell's Facebook. And just recently, the question mark on "Want to take a ride" is a link to I don't even know what yet. Just basically, as I was doing this show, turned into a link. It takes you to YouTube. Contact Want to Take a Ride. Actually, 50,000 views here for this little video, whatever it might be. But anyway, Art Bell's website, there had been an exclamation point on it and nothing else. And then, shortly thereafter, it had turned into three exclamation points. Then the exclamation points were red, white, and blue. Then on the 4th of July, a YouTube video of fireworks appeared, which was very interesting. And then later, there was, it appears this is a clip from the movie Contact, actually, which is completely terrifying. This person here saying, "Want to take a ride," saying it over and over again, apparently. It's quite horrifying. I don't know what the hell is going on here. I haven't watched this movie since whatever year this came out. But anyway, the Art Bell website is now asking if you want to take a ride. And earlier this, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, there was some Morse code that appeared on it, which, when translated, came out to "want to take a ride." And if you went to Art Bell's Facebook page, he essentially said something like, it is exactly what you think. And obviously what everybody thinks is Art Bell is preparing to return to the airwaves. Anybody listening to this show who's never heard of Art Bell, I'm completely baffled. Art Bell is the greatest radio host of all time, in my opinion. The host of the greatest show of all time. Art Bell's version of Coast to Coast AM and Dreamland back in the 90s and the early part of 2000s before he retired and George Norrie took over. Art Bell was the best. And the idea of Art Bell returning to radio has made me so excited. If he returns, there is no use for this show. I'll just tell you all that right now. No use for this show. I'll probably still do it, but there's no point. Everybody just go listen to Art Bell. He is the king of this genre, and hopefully he returns. But if you check it out, artbell.com, you can get a link to his Facebook page, as well as his Twitter, which is at artbell51. And not a lot of tweets so far. 5 total. He's up to 2,239 followers. From when I first discovered it, I believe there were 500. But we can all cross our fingers and hope that Art Bell will be returning to the airwaves very soon. Unlikely that it will be on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie has just signed a new long-term contract, but perhaps there are other avenues for Mr. Bell. So let's cross our fingers. Back to the phones. You are on After Dark Radio. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Ricky Schmidt in Salina, Ohio. How you doing, Brian?
Ricky, what's up?
Waiting for the New Japan pay-per-view to start. I just wanted to get your thoughts on the card and what you thought were going to be the best. And not that there's going to be a particularly horrible match on the card, but what you thought would be the worst match.
Good God almighty, I've barely even looked at the card.
Oh, well.
Hold on. Let me find it here. Usually we don't talk a lot of wrestling on this show, but since you asked... when does it start? About a half hour?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what we've got here. Ustream. By the way, this is a plug, everybody. Ustream.com/NJPW is the place to go to grab this pay-per-view.
Apparently, people who are buying it late, though, not to interrupt, are having like the same problems they did with the first one where they can't access the show or something.
That is happening right now?
I saw somebody post it on Twitter. I don't know. He didn't specify if it was actually a late buyer, but he said, "I have a lot of friends logging in that are still seeing like the buy thing, even though they've already bought it."
That's not good. I do see the video here that says, and I quote, "Pay-per-view soon starts."
Yeah, they have it for every show.
Yeah. All right, we've got Okada and Prince Devitt, which is that tonight's show? No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. Sorry. That looks phenomenal. Prince Devitt is awesome, as is Okada. This match should be phenomenal, actually. Yuji Nagata and Kazushi Sakuraba should be awesome. Goto and Shibata should be awesome. And this actually looks like the best match I've ever heard of. Captain New Japan and Bad Luck Fale.
It's like an 8-man elimination tag.
I was not aware that I could follow Bad Luck Fale on Twitter. Got Jushin Liger and Tama Tonga. Should be all right. Togi Makabe and Terrible. That should be something else. And Tanahashi and Machine Gun Anderson. I would say I'm looking most forward to Goto Shibata, Prince Devitt and Okada, and, of course, Captain New Japan and Bad Luck Fale.
Bad Luck and Captain New Japan are part of, like, an 8-man elimination tag.
Oh, they are? Am I looking at this wrong? Did you just say that and I wasn't listening?
Yeah.
Let me see this here. Where am I at? God damn, this lineup they've got here. You're right. It is an 8-man tag. Okay, so it's New Japan, Liger, Makabe, and Tanahashi against Fale, Tama Tonga, Terrible, Machine Gun, Carl Anderson. All right, that's less exciting then. It is.
Well, I mean, you still got Fale and...
Yeah, but I want a whole match with Fale and Captain New Japan.
I do too. I've been saying on Twitter all night, I hope Machine Gun rips Liger's mask off and shoves it up Captain New Japan's ass.
Not a fan of Captain New Japan?
Oh, I love Captain New Japan. I just want to see that happen to him.
See that? What are your thoughts on Bad Luck Fale?
Me? I like him.
I don't think he gets the credit he deserves for an awesome gimmick.
No, absolutely not. And actually, just as a fun anecdote, I was the only person at that ROH show at Hera Arena that drew like 180 people last year. I was the only guy who knew who he was when he came out for the dark match.
Really? Christ, yeah. Even I know Bad Luck Fale.
Like, they played like the old Umaga theme song for him, and he steps out, and I just like absolutely lost my shit, and everybody looked at me like I was an alien with like turds hanging out of my mouth.
You know what I also like is they've got the lineup here, and it's got fourth match, third match, second match, first match, and the dark match here is called the Zeroth match. Zero TH. Zeroth match. It's actually not a bad dark match, except for Nakanishi here. Got Nakanishi and, yeah, I guess we'll see. So,
well, I mean, you got Hanma. Hanma saves almost anything he's in just by being Hanma.
Kushida, Tiger Mask, Hanma, and Nakanishi, Jado Gedo, Yoshihashi, and Yujiro Takahashi. That's an 8-man as well. So there you go. Well, good luck with the show tonight. Hopefully it's good.
All right, well, it was nice actually getting on once. I've called into like every show I've ever seen a number for and never get anywhere. So
really? Well, today's your lucky day.
Yeah, it was.
I'm sad that La Sombra doesn't have a graphic here, by the way, for his match with Nakamura.
Doesn't he?
No, it says, sorry, no image. It's too bad.
Well, I mean, they could have just left it blank.
Well, they got a New Japan, the logo is taking the place of La Sombra.
Oh, that's nowhere near as funny as what I thought they had, which was just the text.
Just the text, yeah. No. All right, well, I want to thank you very much for the call. Good job getting through, and hopefully the pay-per-view is a lot of fun. That actually looks like a hell of a lineup. Okada and Devitt. I predict that when I wake up in the morning, everybody will be raving about that match. Perhaps I'm wrong. All right, let's shut down the phone lines here. I got a lot of stuff to get into before we wrap it up. A lot of emails and some very interesting news bits as well. So let's get into that. First, some news. A giant virus has been found. The Pandora virus. This from the Daily Mail. The giant virus is only found underwater and is not thought to pose a serious risk to humans. The new virus is thought to be the biggest ever seen on the Earth. It is 1 micrometer big, up to 10 times the size of other viruses. Only 6% of its genes resemble anything seen on Earth before. And so, the interesting part, this has led French researchers to believe the virus may have come from an ancient time or even another planet such as Mars. The researchers who published their findings in the journal Science believe the virus opens up a range of questions about the history of the Earth. We believe, Dr. Jean-Michel Claver says, that these new Pandora viruses have emerged from a new ancestral cellular type that no longer exists. They're thinking it could be a virus that originated on Mars. I don't know a lot about this, but my guess is that the last thing this planet needs is a virus from another planet showing up. That could be bad news. But this one not considered to be a threat. It is found underwater, spotted off the coast of Chile, and in an Australian pond. Only 6% of its genes resemble those seen on Earth. Also here from the website yourjewishnews.com, alert Brent. I was just amazed at this story. So, you can go to the palm reader, and they will allegedly tell your future based on the lines on your palm. Palmistry, I believe it's called. We actually have a palm reader in Bothell. I swear to God, there's a palm reader in Bothell that is open 24 hours, which always seems very shady to me. In a very little house on the edge of the road as you're leaving Bothell, back where the Bothell sign used to be, which said, "Welcome to Bothell for a day or a lifetime." And when I was in high school, the kids used to always take out the B and the O, so it said, "Welcome to hell for a day or a lifetime. Very near where that sign used to be, there is a palm reader. This from yourjewishnews.com. Some people spend a lot of money for palm readers in order to know if they will have good luck in the future. But what happens if the palm reader has bad news about one's future? Well, if you do not like what your palm reader is saying about your future, maybe all you need, everybody, according to this article, a new palm. Dr. Takaki Matsuoka, a Japanese doctor, is now performing palmistry plastic surgery, where an electric scalpel is used to change the lines of the palm of a person. The idea is that if the money line or the love line of a person's palm extends, they allegedly have better luck in those areas. This is a quote from Matsuoka, which, by the way, in this article, they spell his name Matsuoka in the last line, but Matsuoka in this line. A lot of this yourjewishnews.com needs a lot of help with the editing. He says, if you do not have the marriage line, which means you are not very likely to marry, then the doctor's job is to create a line of marriage. Sometimes the marriage line is on her palm, but it came too soon and the woman lost her chance. We add another line. The operation costs about $1,100. Takes 10 to 15 minutes to complete. It takes about 1 month for the wound on the palm to heal. So I guess you got to wait a month to get married or your luck to improve and money. And Matsuoka takes a practical approach, says it is important that the line is not too perfect. In other words, he may not be very good at his job, is what it sounds like. I don't know. This is from yourjewishnews.com. Also, this is, speaking of psychics, this is just mind-boggling. This from Fox News. Prosecutors in Southern California will file a murder charge against the teenage half-brother in the death of an 11-year-old boy who was the subject of an intense search. The Associated Press not identifying the subject because of his age. Terry Dwayne Smith Jr.'s body was found after a four-day search Wednesday in a shallow grave under a tree behind the house he shared with his mother, half-brother, and other family. A woman who told authorities she had had visions led authorities to the body, a detective in the case said Thursday. Powers said Pam Ragland called a tip line to say that she was envisioning a location and was invited to join the search. Ragland and her children came to the house without knowing it was the boys, walked onto the property, and right to the partially buried body, according to the detective. Powers said, this is the detective, that he had searched the area previously without seeing it. He said the situation is, quote, extremely bizarre, and that he is, quote, blown away. So, for years, psychics have claimed that, or they've been enlisted to try to help find the bodies of those that are missing. And I would say probably about 99 times out of 100, they don't find anything. But I don't even know if this woman, it doesn't even describe her as a psychic. It's just a woman who claimed that she had had visions of where the body was buried. And it turns out she was correct. It's a very interesting story. And finally here, with a new Godzilla movie being made, apparently, comes this. Also from the Daily Mail. Fossils of a giant lizard discovered in Burma have led scientists to believe a rise in temperature 40 million years ago caused plant-eating lizards to grow to the size of 10-foot dragons. Scientists previously thought that large meat-eating dragons, it says, grew larger than their herbivore cousins because of a lack of predators. These findings now from the University of California and the University of Nebraska-Lincoln suggest that a warmer climate is needed for large lizards to grow and that global warming could cause this to happen again. This lizard was thought to be around 6 feet long from nose to tail, would have weighed about 68 pounds and would have resembled modern-day bearded dragons, but around six times the size. That's a big lizard. Wouldn't this be just like a Komodo dragon? We actually have Komodo dragons at the zoo in Seattle, and they're awesome. I think I mentioned before, I hate spiders, but I do not mind lizards and or snakes. And in fact, I saw a snake today as we were hiking. Little devil. It bothered me one bit. It scared the absolute bejesus out of poor Whitney, though. It's not like snakes. All right, let's jump into some of these emails here. This actually was from Marco, asking about Sasquatch, but he already answered his question. All right, this is from Joey. I don't know if you've gotten this one before. It always gave me the willies, he says. Once there was a beautiful young girl who lived in a small town south of Farmersburg. Her parents had to go to town for a while, so they left their daughter home alone, but protected by her dog, which was a very large collie. The parents told the girl to lock all the windows and doors after they had left, and she obeyed her parents' wishes. But there was one window in the basement that would not close completely. She tried as best she could. She finally got the window shut, but it would not lock. She went back upstairs, but just to make sure that no one could get in, she put the deadbolt lock on the basement door. She had some dinner, watched a show on TV, decided to go to sleep for the night at about midnight, crawled into her bed, snuggled up with the dog, and fell asleep. At one point, she suddenly woke up, and when she turned to look at the clock, it was 2:30 a.m. She listened for a moment, and when she didn't hear anything, she snuggled down again, wondering what had woken her. Just as she was about to fall back to sleep, she heard a noise. It was a dripping sound. She thought that maybe she hadn't closed the faucet tight enough after she brushed her teeth, and now it was dripping into the drain of her sink. She decided to ignore the sound and go back to sleep. She didn't know why, but she felt uneasy and a little nervous. She reached her hand over the edge of her bed, let the dog lick her hand to feel safe, knowing that he would protect her. Again, at about 3:45 a.m., she woke up hearing dripping. She was annoyed, but still felt sleepy and lazy, and she went back to sleep anyway. Again, she reached down and let the dog lick her hand, then she fell back to sleep. At 6:52 a.m., the girl decided she had had enough. She got up just as her parents were pulling up to the house. Good, she thought. Now somebody can fix the sink, because I know I didn't leave it running. She walked to the bathroom, and there was the collie dog, skinned and hung up on the curtain rod. The noise she heard was its blood dripping into a puddle on the floor. The girl screamed, ran to the bedroom to get a weapon in case someone was still in the house, and there on the floor next to her bed, she saw a small note written in blood, the collie's blood, I'm sure, saying, quote, "Humans can lick too, my beautiful." That is from Joey. That's an old one. That is an old one. I have not heard that story in decades. But that story has been around for decades, in fact. A classic. It's up there with the Vanishing Hitchhiker right there. Thank you very much for that, Joey. Josh here. Just wanted to talk about a subject brought up in older episodes that is a very general topic, what we fear. Before I do, I'd like to say I also suffer from your situation that I feel the urge to just jump sometimes near heights, which is somewhat funny since I also have a solid fear of heights. Not only that, but I also have an urge to do a lot of things dangerous. For example, working on a car and seeing spark plugs. I sometimes feel like, quote, "I wonder what would happen if I just grabbed it with the battery on." Don't do that. For this reason, as a child, I'd always have to have the garbage disposal unplugged or far away to the weird urge to just do something stupid, even though I knew there were consequences. One of my biggest fears, and the reason I'm writing in, is the deep sea. It has been proven that deep sea pressure can cause giant fish and other creatures due to the way that they have to adapt. So from my own mindset, I always am afraid of going into the water and having it be the day a giant squid or some sort of monster grabs my boat and away I go. What doesn't help matters is the bloop. Oh, the bloop. The bloop is a sound heard in the late 90s only once that scientists still cannot explain. What makes it creepy is that it was heard by two different undersea microphones 5,000 miles apart. When at normal speed, it sounds like Godzilla howling, but at faster speeds, like a bubble. Scientists have said if anything living made that sound, it must be bigger than the largest thing known in the common ocean. What is amazing is, and let me state before I make the following statement, I know that H.P. Lovecraft was just a fiction writer, but the sound originated in a spot close to where H.P. Lovecraft had stated Cthulhu, I'm unaware of this, had slept in the prison, in his prison, in the sea. But that is my great fear, the deep sea and what lay beneath, where we can see. The unsolved mystery theme, he says, by the way, gives me the creeps, like other listeners have said. I need to Google this word here. I'm not a H.P. Lovecraft guy, so I have absolutely no idea what this is, even is. Cthulhu? Doesn't have a pronunciation here. Tulu? Clulu? It is a fictional entity that appeared in the short story The Call of Cthulhu, published in the pulp magazine Weird Tales in 1928. Character was created by H.P. Lovecraft. Cthulhu, I guess is the pronunciation here. In The Call of Cthulhu, H.P. Lovecraft describes it as a monster of vaguely anthropoid outline, but with an octopus-like head whose face was a mass of feelers, a scaly, rubbery-looking body, prodigious claws on hind and forefeet, and long, narrow wings behind. Mixed between a giant human, an octopus, and a dragon, depicted as being hundreds of meters tall. Hundreds of meters tall! Human-looking arms and legs, a pair of rudimentary wings on its back. It's not going to fly very well if he's hundreds of meters tall with rudimentary wings. Head of a giant octopus. Yeah, not a good little beastie to run into deep into the sea. All right, very interesting. Yeah, the Unsolved Mysteries theme has come back to haunt a number of people. All right. This is from Damien. This is the names we met during WrestleMania weekend. I have never really spoken about this, but it is a very strange tidbit that I figured I'd share with you in the After Dark audience. According to science, scars, birthmarks, damaged tissue of any sort is not hereditary, meaning if you got a scar and then you have a child, the child will not bear these same scars. Many decades ago, my mother was living in Puerto Rico at the time and suffered an injury. She claimed that she was run over by the bicycle, which resulted in an odd-shaped indentation slash scar above her eyelid. Scar is very uniquely shaped. It looks almost like the state of Tennessee with its jagged edges. Fast forward to many years later, I noticed the exact same scar, same shape, same location, right above my eyelid. I brought it up to my mother, who claimed it must be because of her. I countered it was scientifically impossible, but it's too precise to be a coincidence. I brought this up to my science teacher at the time, who was also the head of the science department in my school during parent-teacher night. He was baffled. I didn't want to have tests done on me or anything crazy, so I never brought it up, but it makes me think that there might be something to altering someone's DNA post-birth, passing down the results. Has anyone else heard of such a thing? We're going to need some photographic evidence of this, Dames. I don't know if you can get you and your mom to take photographs of these scars so that we can all make comparisons, but that is baffling. I don't know what to make of that. Anybody listening have any ideas? Just email me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com, put After Dark in the subject line, and let me know. The Dames is baffled by his hereditary scar. Just want to say I love all your shows, says Sean. I'm on the East Coast, can't make it to call in, but wanted to drop you a quick question. First, see if you'd heard of an incident that I will mention. Secondly, your opinion of it. Won't bother explaining it. Make the email entirely too long. If you've ever heard of the Dyatlov Pass incident, and what your feelings are. I only heard about it like 2 years ago, and find it very interesting and freaky. I have only a passing notion of the story. I read about it a long time ago. I have barely any information on it. I know it involved hikers in Russia who, I don't know if they died on a mountain, disappeared on a mountain. I believe they were found. Let's do some investigation here. We'll have to follow up on this further. If there's any books on this situation. In fact, there is. The Mountain of the Dead. Dyatlov Pass Incident. Which actually, July of 2013 it came out. This must be a brand new book. Wow. The Dyatlov Pass Incident here generally refers to the mysterious deaths of 9 ski hikers in the Uri Mountains on the night of February 2, 1959. Happened on the east shoulder of the mountain Kolat Siakal, name meaning the Mountain of the Dead. The mountain pass where the incident occurred has since been named Dyatlov Pass, after the group's leader, Igor Dyatlov. Dyatlov, I guess it's Russian. Lack of eyewitnesses has inspired much speculation. Soviet investigators simply determined that a compelling natural force caused deaths. Access to the area was barred for skiers and other adventurers for 3 years after the incident. Chronology of the incident remains unclear because of the lack of survivors. Investigators at the time determined that the hikers tore open their tent from within, departing barefoot into heavy snow and a temperature of minus 22 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 30 degrees Celsius. Although the corpses showed no signs of struggle, 2 victims had fractured skulls, 2 had broken ribs, 1 was missing her tongue. Let's take a look at this book. Mountain of the Dead, Dyatlov Pass Incident. I am so bad with these pronunciations sometimes. I'm a reader, not a speaker, even though I have this radio show. All right, let's check it out. Mountain of the Dead. It is, in fact, brand new. It has not been released. It is going to be published October 1, 2013. It claims that it is out on Kindle. Let us see how quickly we can order this particular book right here. I'm going to order it as we pre-order with... I do not want it shipped, my friends. Let's go to the Kindle. Come on, it's 2013 here. Yep, buy now with one click. Here we go. Bam! Amazing how the internet works here in 2013. So someday we shall do the book review on that. We still haven't done a book review yet. I should set that up. What should be the first book we should all read together? I'll have to find a good one on my iPad. And we shall share our thoughts. All right, let's see here. I have a question, fitness related, maybe you could elaborate on. This is from John. Do you have any recommended workout routines for fat loss? I'm currently implementing a calorie deficit healthy diet. Workout is weight training days a week. It doesn't say how many days. Oh, 2 upper body days, 1 lower body day. With 5 exercises a day, 3 sets of 8 to 12 reps. What is your opinion on that? Do you have any advice on weightlifting and dieting for fat loss? I would say weight loss, but really it's all about keeping muscle and losing fat. I've given up on cardio due to having knee problems from arthritis. Well, unfortunately, the most shredded I've got of late has been when I was running hills. If you want to get ripped quick, watch your diet, lift weights, and run hills. I got a hill right outside the house here. Sprint up, jog down 10 times. It's about 15 minutes to do that. Absolutely a killer. Actually was doing it to get in shape for a competition, jiu-jitsu competition. But I hate running, but running is very effective. If you can't run, I think you should do some sort of cardio. The weight training should largely be sufficient if you have a good diet. But adding a little bit of cardio is always going to help. You should try to find something that if your knees hurt, maybe you could do like an elliptical machine, or sometimes people that have problems with their knees can do like the bike. But I would certainly continue the weight training. 5 exercises a day, 3 sets of 8 to 12 reps. Listen, a million people will tell you different workout strategies. But to me, the workout strategy that you find fun, that will get you into the gym, is the one that you should do. I have been doing just very, very basic bench press, deadlift, and squat. Or actually, of late, I stopped doing squat and deadlifts together. I was I started doing bench press, pull-ups, and either squats or leg press or something for my legs. But just basically 3 things. Something for chest, something for back, something for legs. And for legs, always try and do like squats or deadlifts or some sort of heavy compound exercise. But squats, deadlifts, whatever, and then pull-ups, and then bench press. And I just did that on Tuesday and Thursday. And then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I did like either the hill sprints or CrossFit, something CrossFit related. I don't do like a lot of the... actually, if you want to know the best thing to do, at least that I've been doing of late, it's if you go to sealfit.com, the actual SealFit workout will kill you. I think you got to be on drugs to be able to do it and not die. If you're over the age of about 18, it's going to be very difficult to do this and not kill yourself. It's so hard. But if you go to sealfit.com and you go up to the top to WODs, workouts of the day, there's something called a SealFit candidate workout, which also is extraordinarily hard, but you can scale it down. And at 38 years old, I do have to scale it down. But it doesn't involve any of the Olympic lifting. I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of people have gotten hurt in CrossFit doing Olympic style lifting and not having good form and knowing what they're doing. For example, the July 19th SOF candidate, Special Operation Forces candidate workout of the day, has got Tabata air squats, a lot of running, burpees. It's all stuff that you can do if you've got just a very limited amount of workout equipment. But if you're like in really good shape and you want to get in even better shape, I really recommend the SealFit SOF candidate workout of the days. They'll kick your ass. But I do that Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or hill running. And then the other 2 days I do bench press, pull-ups, and squats or deadlifts, whatever, for your legs, leg press. But yeah, you gotta eat right. That's the most important thing. That's 80% of it. Eat a really good diet, a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables. I know there are going to be people that will say this diet or that diet or avoid this or avoid that, but just eat healthy. Eat your fruits and vegetables. Eat some lean meats. If you're really serious or crazy, there's a lot of very serious diets that you can do. But really, just eat some healthy food that you like. Do a workout that you like, and you'll get in good shape. The worst thing you can do is take someone's advice on a workout that you don't like and try and do it, because you're gonna not like it, and you're gonna stop doing it, and you're gonna give up. Or to take someone's advice about dieting that you don't like, because invariably after a few weeks you're gonna give up and you're not gonna do it. You gotta find a workout that you like, even if it's a workout that seems stupid. If someone says your workout's stupid, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Listen, if you're doing something that's gonna hurt you, yes, don't do it. But if your workout's like, you know, I love doing 1,000 push-ups a day. Okay. If someone tells you that's stupid, do it. Because if it's something you like to do, you're going to keep doing it. And that's the whole key to all of this, is consistency. You've got to consistently work out, and you've got to consistently watch your diet. So you find a diet you like, preferably as healthy as possible. And I don't like people... Listen, you all know what a healthy diet is. Okay. It's not cookies, not ice cream, cheese whiz. It's not any of that. It's fruits, it's vegetables, it's lean meats, that sort of thing. Obviously, there's some things here and there that you can be a little more specific about, but in general, everybody knows what a healthy diet is. So find healthy things you like to eat and do it over the long haul, and find an exercise program that you like and do it over the long haul, and you will be fine. That is my advice after, how many years has it been now? 25 years of working out. Just find something you like and do it. And if you don't like it anymore, then find something else you like. Don't fall into the habit of having somebody, especially the personal trainer at the gym that is clearly on drugs. Don't fall into the habit of somebody giving you a workout and diet program that you don't like, because you're doomed. You're doomed to failure. It has to be something you like. It has to be something fun. It has to be something that you enjoy doing. And if you find that, you'll be able to do it for the long haul, and you'll end up in great shape. So that's my advice. If that workout sounds fun to you that you're doing, the two upper body and lower body, 5 exercises, 3 sets of 8 to 12, do it. Go do it and have fun. And watch your diet. And if you can get a little bit of cardio in on top of that, that's good. Listen, the best thing you can do, especially if you've got knee problems and that sort of thing, forget all the advice I even gave you about the bike. Just find a place that you like. Maybe it's the park. Maybe you've got woods. Maybe you're near the beach. And just walk. Just get outside and walk. And if you walk for a half hour every day in a place that you like, and it's something that you enjoy, you will end up losing a lot of weight. Walking is one of the best things you can do. And you don't have to worry about the weight on your knees from running, the impact, anything like that. Just walk and enjoy it. And you know, if that's how you have to start your cardio, and if that's all the cardio you can do, great. But that's better than nothing. So just go for a walk, and especially if it's a nice place, not only will you get a little bit of exercise, but it's good for the soul to go for a walk in a place that you love. So that's my diet and fitness advice for the day. All right, everybody, we are out of time. We're going to wrap it up. I want to thank everybody so much for listening. I had a great time doing the show tonight, as always. We'll be back next week with a brand new After Dark Radio. You can always follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. And if you do, you'll always have information on when you can listen to the show and when you can call in. So follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez, and of course, the website, WrestlingObserver.com. Daily radio shows and all that good stuff. So check it out, everybody. Thanks so much for listening, and we shall talk to you again after a while.